Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text number 8. Nihi prapashami mama panudyad. Yat chokam uchchoshanam indriyanam. Avapya bhuma vasapatnaridam. Rajam saranam apichadipatyam. Na, do not. He, certainly. Prapashami, I see. Mama, my. Apanudyat, can drive away. Yat, that which. Shokam, lamentation. Uchchoshananam, drying up. Indriyanam, of the senses. Avapya, achieving. Bhumau, on the earth. Asapatnyam, without rival. Ridam, prosperous. Rajam, kingdom, Saranam, of the demigods. Api, even, Cha, also, Adipatyam, supremacy. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I can find no means to drive away this grief, which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it, even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. Purport. Although Arjuna is putting forward so many arguments based on knowledge of the principles of religion and moral codes, it appears that he is unable to solve his real problem without the help of a spiritual master. Lord Shri Krishna, he could understand that his so-called knowledge was useless in driving away his problems, which were drying up his whole existence, and which was impossible for him to solve such perplexities without the help of a spiritual master like Lord Krishna. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position, etc., are all useless in solving the problems of life. Help can be given only by a spiritual master like Krishna. Therefore, the conclusion is that a spiritual master who is 100% Krishna conscious is the bona fide spiritual master, for he can solve the problems of life. Lord Chaitanya said that one who is the master in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his social position, is the real spiritual master. Kiva vipra, kiva nasi, shudra, kena noi, ye Krishna tattva veda, se guru hoy. Does not matter whether a person is a vipra, learned scholar in Vedic wisdom, or is born in a lower family, or is in the renounced order of life. If he is a master in the science of Krishna, he is the perfect and bona fide spiritual master. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 8.128. So without being a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, no one is a bona fide spiritual master. It is also said in the Vedic literature, Sat Karma Vipuno Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada Avaishnava Guru Nasyad Vaishnava Svapacho Guru. Scholarly Brahman, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava, or expert in the science of Krishna consciousness. But a person born in a family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava or a Krishna conscious. Padma Purana. The problems of material existence, birth, old age, disease, and death cannot be counteracted by accumulation of wealth and economic development. In many parts of the world, there are states which are replete with all the facilities of life, which are full of wealth and economically developed. Yet the problems of material existence are still present. They are seeking peace in different ways, but they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which constitute the science of Krishna through the bona fide representative of Krishna, the man in Krishna consciousness. If economic development and material comforts could drive away one's lamentation for family, social, national, international inebrieties, then Arjuna would have not said that even an unrivaled kingdom on earth or supremacy like that of the demigods in the heavenly planets would be unable to drive away his lamentations. He sought, therefore, refuge in Krishna consciousness, and that is the right path for peace and prosperity and harmony. Economic development or supremacy over the world can be finished at any moment by the cataclysms of material nature. Even elevation to a higher planetary system, as men are now seeking on the moon planet, can be finished in one stroke. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Shine punye martya lokam vishanti. When the results of pious activities are finished, one falls down again from the peak of happiness to the lowest status of life. Many politicians of the world have fallen down in this way. Such downfalls only constitute more causes for lamentation. Therefore, if we want to curb lamentation for good, then we have to take shelter of Krishna, as Arjuna is seeking to do so. So Arjuna asks Krishna to solve his problems definitely. That is the way of Krishna consciousness. Dihi prapashami mama panudyad yatschokim uchchoshnam indriyanam avapimuvav sapatridam radam sarinam avichadipatyam. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yesham antikatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvanva nirmamo mukva bhajante mam dridavrataha. We have a number of our students here falling asleep even before we started the class. You have to wait at least till the class, and you have a, then you complain it was boring and had a good reason to fall asleep. Besides that, it's almost time to go to bed anyhow. So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he mentions that there is a process of becoming Krishna conscious. And it begins with religion, following religious principles. Religion comes from the Latin regula, to regulate one's senses. That doesn't mean necessarily that one is Krishna conscious, but generally speaking, it's understood dharma tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam, that all real regulations come from Krishna. Therefore, religion means to follow religious principles coming from Krishna, of which four of them are prominent, namely mercy, mercy, truthfulness, cleanliness, and austerity. Unless one is austere, unless one is truthful, unless one is clean, unless one is merciful, there's no question of being actually religious, following the being in harmony with the material nature and with Krishna. But that's not the end of the Vedas. Some people think it's the end of the Vedas. Does anyone know a verse in Bhagavad Gita where people think the end of the Vedas is material prosperity by following religious principles? What is it? First word is yam. Pushpitam vacham. Prava nyavipasita veda vatarata partha nainam astiti vadinam karmatmaka swargapura janmakarmapalapradam kriya visheshu bhavalam bhagaishvayakitim prati. Men of small knowledge it's acknowledged. This is the
42.
Small knowledge. Let's see, we're small knowledge. Yam hinavyantandi. Yam imam pushpitam vacham. What's the word for? Anyhow, yam imam pushpitam vacham. They, men of small knowledge, believe that they have become attached to the flowery language of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to the heavenly planets, result in good birth, and so forth. Being desirous of heavenly of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than that, than this. This is super salty. So yamimam pushpitam vacham. So this is what most people think is the aim of life. Those who have knowledge, at least the knowledge who follow religious principles, they believe that the end is material, higher sense gratification. Perhaps even some of them actually believe that there's something called a higher planet that they can go to and enjoy even better sense gratification. Longer life, less disease, beautiful, everything is beautiful there. People are generally mostly in the mode of goodness. So that's what they think, that's why they're clean and austere and truthful and merciful. But that's not the aim of life, because it will not make one happy. According to Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma bhuvana loka puna arvarta nojana mamupetya tu konteya puna arjanma navidite. What does that mean? Abrahma bhuvana loka. Who's Abraham? Who's Brahma? You must know who Brahma is. What is Loka? Yeah. So from the highest planet in the material world, Brahma's planet, down to the lowest, all the places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Abrahma bhuvana loka puna avarta nojana mamupetya tu konteya punar janma navidyate. So how many of us during the day think, my real problem is I'm going to die? Ever think like that? No. Generally, we merrily, 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 life is but a dream. You heard that before? Row, 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 you boat, life is but a dream. Did you hear that? It's a nursery rhyme. So most people, they just think, they're just merrily going along their life. They don't really think, if they have a place to sleep, some nice prasadam, no one's criticizing them too much, then life is good. But behind us is the prospect of old age, disease, and death, whether one is in the heavenly planets or in the hellish planets or in Slovenia, in Ljubljana. The same problems of life are there that are generally ignored. So the actual person who's, as it said in the previous verse, who's intelligent, he tries to solve the problems of life and not quit his body like the dogs and the cats, without knowing what the problems of life are and how to solve them. He's called a brahmana. And one who just lives life trying to gratify the senses, then he's called a kripana, or a miser, that he's misusing the valuable human form of life. So those, and what does it begin with? Of course, it begins with dharmic principles, the four of the principles, but then what's the next stage? The next stage is that one has to live a pious life. And what is punya, krita punya punya, what is actually a pious life? Does anyone know what a real pious life is? According to the Cowherd boys, they were playing with Krishna. Because after many, many lifetimes of punya, krita punya punya, they got the chance to play with Krishna. So what was that pious activities they were performing?
I mean, after many
we don't chastise if you get the wrong answer.
And after many births of doing pious activities, they got the chance to associate with Krishna face to face. And they were performing devotional service.
Yeah, devotional service is the actual pious activity. So after doing devotional service, then the next stage is that one has to conquer over sinful reactions. So what does it mean to conquer over sinful reactions? That's the language Prabhupada uses there. Conquer sinful reactions. What does it mean to conquer sinful reactions? How do you conquer sinful reactions? How can the soul conquer sinful reactions? Anyone ever get a sinful reaction here? That's a standard answer. Yes. Yeah, it's tolerating. Tolerating, not in other words, apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apapavishanti yadvat tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve vishante matnoti nakama kami. That a person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled and is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So Arjuna is disturbed, but why is he disturbed? Because he's attached to a material conception. He's thinking that his relatives, his dear ones, are going to die, and he's very disturbed. As if he didn't fight in the battle, they weren't going to die. So of course Krishna showed Arjuna in the 11th chapter, they were all dead anyhow. Whether he fought or not, they were going to die sooner or later. Everyone has to die. Everyone has to leave this body at least. So when one becomes attached to such a conception, the mind becomes disturbed. Mostly we're worried about our own death, and when we see other people dying, we're afraid that maybe I could die too. It reminds us. It's like if distributing books, if you meet someone who's coming from a funeral, many times they become a little bit more soft about religious experience, about something spiritual, because they realize for the first time in maybe their whole life that there's some possibility that they might die. Although they quickly forget about it. That's why at many funerals, at least in certain places, they all go to the pub and drink. Just to forget about reality. But Arjuna, he's bewildered because of all his confusion. And therefore he's rightly thinking, even if I win if I go to the heavenly planets, or if I win if I get a kingdom on earth like the heavenly planets, then I won't be happy. Which is true. Because no one's happy in the material world. If you think you're unhappy and everyone else is happy, you're wrong. You and everyone else are unhappy. Because how can you be happy? If you, behind in the back of our minds, we're thinking we have to leave this body soon, and we don't know where we're going. It's quite a. We're here for maybe some of us will live another 50 years, 100 years. So how much is 100 years compared to eternity? Is it very much? So now we're attached to this particular body and in this particular situation, and we're thinking, only if I can only live another year or 5 years or 10 years, everything's good. But the amount of time we're going to be in this body is so insignificant compared to our eternal life. It has no significance whatsoever. And yet we're in love with this body, we're attached to it, and the things related to it, although it's all temporary. It's not any longer than a dream. Just like if you dreamt last night and you became a princess, or you became a king, and you had a nice family, a big castle you're living in, and then you woke up. Do you fall on the ground and cry, oh, let me go back to sleep. Maybe I can become a princess again, or a king. No, you realize it was just a dream. It didn't last very long. You didn't expect it to last long. And you go on with your existence. So similarly, this life is nothing more than a dream. Identification with a certain arrangement of the material nature, which is always fleeting, which we have to leave very shortly, and we have no idea where we're going. Therefore, it's a fearful situation. We don't know if we're going up or down or in between, what's going to happen to us. So therefore, even if you're on the heavenly planets, and you know you have to leave your body, how can you be peaceful? Does anyone know a verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, unless you're Krishna conscious, you can't be peaceful? And how can you be happy if you're not peaceful? What's that? Great. And what's the translation? For one who's not in divine consciousness or Krishna consciousness, can have what? Could not have. Can't have what? Buddhi and what else? Cannot have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So do we think Arjuna was happy at this particular time? He was so disturbed, he didn't want to fight, he didn't know what to do. He was bewildered. Anyone here ever become bewildered? You? Are you happy when you're bewildered? No, no one's happy when they're bewildered. So Arjuna is completely bewildered. We caught him at a bad moment in the class. Luckily, he has a good friend, Krishna, and how does Krishna get him out of this bewilderment? Does he offer him some candy? Arjuna, I have some nice lasagna for you to make you feel happy. It's like before in America sometimes, before they execute the criminal, they give him whatever food they want, whatever he wants the night before. Do you think it makes him feel better? I'm going to be killed the next day, but at least I have some pizza to eat the night before. So how does Krishna solve the problems of Arjuna? Sits him down on the chariot and says, tell me about it. Was it when you were a little boy? How did your mother treat you? Is that the problem?
By giving him proper vision.
Yes, giving him transcendental knowledge. Most people don't value that very much. You know, big deal, transcendental knowledge. You can pick up the Bhagavad Gita any time and get transcendental knowledge. I got more important things to find out about. But that's the only thing that can actually solve our real problems. Everything else, when we read the newspapers or watch television or whatever we do, it's all to take care of our anxiety that it's all right. No one's invading Slovenia today. The Russians haven't sent over any missiles yet. So I feel like I can eat my meal peacefully and go to sleep without too much worry. So the whole idea is just to get out of problems and to see if we can find a comfortable situation somewhere. Security. But the only security is when we come to the spiritual platform and realize we're eternal. Otherwise, how can we feel secure? It's impossible to feel secure without realizing we're eternal. So every one of us, unless we're spirit fully realized, then we must be in anxiety over some degree or another. And how does that help us, being in anxiety? It helps us because hopefully it inspires us to take shelter of Krishna and his representatives. Without, people are not in anxiety for one reason or another, they don't take shelter of Krishna. They don't see any reason to do so. If you ask a person who has extremely wealthy or whatever, has some material opulence, they don't feel there's any need to take shelter of Krishna because God has given them everything they need. What do they need God for? So generally speaking, when we're in difficulty, then we take shelter. And if one is pious, someone takes shelter of Krishna. And if one is impious, he takes shelter of some materialist. Depends on one's past association and experience. So, after coming to the platform, conquering sinful reactions, then one can accept actual devotional service. Then one comes to the platform of what? What is the platform when one can actually accept devotional service? What's that? You just started to say so, I didn't know. No. What's the stage of when actually pure devotional service? Devotional service, sudden bhakti. When does pure devotional service begin? Yes.
When it's unmotivated.
And what else?
According to the
unmotivated and uninterrupted. Yeah, well, when one comes to the platform of anartha nirriti, then one can accept real pure devotional service. Brahma, Buddha, Prasanatma, Nishoshiti, Nikangshiti, Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu, Madhvaktim Lavate Param. One becomes, the platform of actual peacefulness begins when one gives up hankering and lamentation. One is unattached to hankering and lamentation. And therefore can see all living entities and treat them as spiritual beings. That's why preaching is so nice, because preaching means you're treating others as spiritual beings. So naturally when one is doing that, one feels a sense of liberation. Because most of our problems, we look at everyone, what can you give me? Or what you're going to take away from me. And we don't have that feeling, what can I give you in terms of helping you get out of your, solving your real, your the actual solution to your problems, then one is liberated. One is not trying to get anything from anyone, nor is one in anxiety that someone may take something away from one. So that's liberation. And then one can actually do things with devotion. Serve Krishna with devotion. And then what's the next stage? One actually becomes aware of Krishna. It's called Krishna consciousness. One can accept devotional service, then one can meditate and gradually rise to pure knowledge, actually experience with one's spiritual senses Krishna, what Krishna is actually like, what it's actually like to associate with Krishna and his devotees. One comes to the platform of what? Feeling. One can actually feel Krishna's presence. Of course, at any stage it's possible Krishna may reveal himself. We concentrate our minds upon him, he may reveal himself. But generally speaking, one has that power to do so when one is no longer distracted by material attachments and aversions. Then one can meditate and trance upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's called perfection. One is sarasagi. One is always seeing, remembering Krishna and never forgetting him, which is the goal of sadhana bhakti. One rises up to bhava and prema bhakti. First is sakti, then bhava and prema bhakti. So Arjuna is not on that platform right now. So if you stick around, you'll find out how Krishna solves Arjuna's problems. And Arjuna agrees to listen attentively so he knows what to do to actually get out of his confusion. So our problems can be solved. We hear from the right source with the right attitude. Assimilate the knowledge and then apply it in our lives. Then all our confusion due to this misidentification with his body and seeing others as material bodies will be solved. And we'll see everyone as a servant to the servant to the servant to Krishna, including ourselves. And then our lives will be perfect in Krishna consciousness. What do you do? Yeah. Any questions or comments? Yes.
For pure devotion service.
For pure devotion service, it is uninterrupted and unmotivated. For unmotivated, we can refer to this verse, Anayabhilashita Shunya, without any...
That's where the verse, that's where it comes from.
Yeah. And also for uninterrupted, this verse, but also this verse...
Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam tidami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upyanti te.
Yeah, but also one verse I forgot. Anyway, the translation is that, my dear Lord, anybody who suffers.
Tatenu kampam susamikshamano punjana eva mikritam vipakam ridvag vabupir vitatanamaste. Viveta san mukti pade sadaya bhak.
So for an uninterrupted this was that no matter what happens, that the devotee keeps performing the devotion service without any interruption.
Yeah, go. That's right. So unmotivated and uninterrupted, or is unmotivated means that one is not covered by jnana, karma, or yoga. And anyabhilas, and there's no other desire but to serve. One is in love with Krishna, so there's no other desire than to please Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned this verse in the beginning that says that those who are pious in this life and the past life, they can engage in devotional service. And sometimes we see that people are anything but that, but they still somehow take some books. You can go into a butcher's store and they sometimes take a book. So how can we explain this?
Do they give a donation after taking the book? How do you explain it? Because they've gotten it by the association of devotee who's empowered to distribute Krishna consciousness. They've acquired a little piety, a moment piety. So therefore Krishna is telling them to take the book. So because of the atmosphere created, they agree to do it. Every time you give someone a book, Krishna is telling them to take it. But depending upon the atmosphere, they agree to do it or not, because they have free will. So if the atmosphere is proper, is good enough, then, or if they've done some pious activities, Gyati Sukriti or Gyati Umuki Sukriti, then, you know, they might get inspired to take it. They might listen to Krishna in their heart. I mean, everyone's listening to Krishna in the heart to some degree or another. Otherwise, the society would be really completely less than animalistic. So it's not, even if it was a butcher, he usually has a family, he may even go to church, whatever. He doesn't, you know, he may not be consciously and enthusiastically slaughtering animals, he just does it because, like Mohur Gharari the hunter, why did he become a devotee? Because he had the association of Narada Muni. And by that association, he was awarded the opportunity to take up devotional service. Anything else? Kala Granthara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.